From early on in my study of the Christian faith, of theology, especially when I got into undergraduate school and was studying religion at Southern Methodist University, I was fascinated by the Gospels, especially by the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are called synoptic because they're kind of synonymous with each other. They tell us about the life and ministry of Jesus in pretty much the same way. They draw from many of the same resources, including the saying source of the teachings of Jesus. And so in the Synoptic Gospels, you get an idea of who Jesus was, how Jesus taught, what Jesus taught, how Jesus viewed himself, how others who were around him at the time viewed him. The Synoptic Gospels were written starting in the very late 60s or in the early 70s and running through the 80s. And so they come to us several decades after his life and ministry. The letters of Paul, however, were of great fascination to me because they were written starting about 10 years after the life and ministry of Jesus, all the way up until the early 60s. So you have an early stage interpretation of how Jesus was understood, who Jesus was, how Jesus was experienced, how his message was understood and applied in Christian life during those first few decades, in some cases by people who actually knew him, and others by people, especially in the Gentile world, who had never met Jesus. In Philippians, we find a snapshot, a quick image, a photograph, if you will, of how Jesus was understood by about 60 AD. In the life of the Christian community. In what we call in most New Testament circles the Christ hymn. And it's called the Christ hymn because in form and redaction criticism of the New Testament, as scholars have read and looked at it, they've discerned within Philippians Paul quoting a hymn of the church, an ancient hymn of the church, a hymn of the church that was popular and known there in the church in Philippi and probably in other churches throughout the Mediterranean basin. It's a hymn about Christ, about who Christ is, was, and will be. A hymn that expresses the faith of the church in these early years. And he takes this hymn and he uses it to help the community there in Philippi understand what it is they are called to do and who they are called to be and how they are called to live. In the introduction to the Christ hymn, Paul tells us what he wants. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each one of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? These are easily the words that could be written to us here in the 21st century church. We've done a pretty poor job across the millennia of having the same mind, of having the same love, of being in full accord, doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, humility regarding ourselves and regarding others as better than ourselves, looking not to our own interests but to the interests of others. Most Christians, if we're honest with ourselves, most of us do a pretty poor job of much of this. Things haven't changed much over the past 2 millennia. If Paul is having to implore one of the most beloved and quote-unquote best churches of the New Testament world in this way, then things really haven't changed much. And then he starts to manipulate. He starts to meddle a little bit, like most preachers do today, like I do. Be like Jesus, he's saying. This is what we do. I do it. Go back and review some of my sermons over the past 5 months that I've been here. And by the way, it's hard to believe I've been here for 5 months. I'm guilty of trying to manipulate you in the exact same way. Be like Jesus. Live like Jesus. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This was a hymn. They sung this, friends. Paul is calling us to be like Jesus, to adopt within ourselves this effacing mentality that accepts the role of a servant and even death if need be. All of which Jesus did for us. This gives us a powerful glimpse of how at least some of the church in the 50s and early 60s thought of Jesus. This was sung in Christian communities 20 years, 25 years, 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. This is how they understood the one they were following and why they were following him. It's an image of God emptying God's self into the form of a human, into Jesus. Camera dudes, follow me. An emptying. The Greek word is kenosis, in which you have an emptying from one vessel into another. And it's not a sterling or gold chalice that is emptied into. It's a simple earthen vessel, a simple creation, the form of a servant, a human being, Jesus of Nazareth, a carpenter, not an earthly king or a military general or a ruler or a wealthy person or an aristocrat or a high priest in the temple, but a simple human being, a simple carpenter, a simple Jewish peasant, a simple Rabbi. God empties God's self into this form of a servant. And we are called to be open to God emptying God's self into us in the same way. That's what we mean when we talk about receiving grace. Jesus is the ultimate form, the ultimate expression of God's grace for us, the ultimate, eternal, everlasting means of grace for all. And we are called to become means of grace for others. As God pours God's self into Christ, God pours God's self into us. In Methodist theology and Wesleyan theology, this is a concept called sanctification, where God's grace is given to us. We receive it, and then it transforms us and then flows from us to others. We are called to be an expression, a means of God's grace, God's love, God's presence for all. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, we talk about the real presence of Jesus coming through the act of communion, when we come and we eat and drink with faith, coming through the act to fill us, to pour into us the love and presence, the grace and peace of God. that we might then become the grace and peace, the presence of God for others. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, we have an expression, the very image of the outpouring of God into Christ. But now it's the outpouring of God into us, the emptying of God's grace into us. Very powerful image, an experiential image that we get to partake in when we take the bread and when we take the cup and receive by faith that outpoured grace of God so that we might become outpoured for others. It's an image of outpoured grace. God in Christ pouring God's self out for us in Jesus, in Jesus' life, teachings, ministry, healings, feedings, self-givings. It is one that then calls us to follow and to live. You may have noticed that I've stayed away from the very end of the hymn thus far, from the doxology that comes after this affirmation, this proclamation of the outpouring grace of God, emptying into Christ. It's a doxology. It's sung in response to the living of the outpoured life that Christ had for us. It's sung in response to the outpoured life of Christ in His death and resurrection. Therefore, God also highly exalted Him and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's a doxology. It's triumphant. It gives glory to God in Jesus. And that's good. But it's not where we as the church are right this moment. We need to be doing a better job of emptying ourselves, of God emptying God's self into us through Christ as the ultimate source of grace for us and for others. We need to do a better job of being God's grace for and to others. Let this mind be in you. It was also in Christ Jesus. Are we willing to be a means of grace for others, as Christ is a means of grace for us, through all the many instruments, the many means of grace like worship and prayer and study and fellowship and communion? Are we willing to be a means of grace for others? Are we ready to give grace? Are we ready to be a grace-giving presence to and for others? This congregation has that history of giving grace to others. This congregation has that history of being a grace-giving people, expressing the love of God to and for all. Throughout its history, it has been a lighthouse of grace, proclaiming the love of God in words and especially in deeds to and for all. Will we be a grace-giving people, giving the love of God to all? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And let that mind of Christ flow from us as a means of grace for all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and may God's people say, Amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. I invite you to join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come and you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen, amen, amen.
And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.